أن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به وأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن خير الكلام كلام الله تبارك وتعالى، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. Brothers and sisters in Islam, when we look at the condition of the Muslims today, it's very easy for the person who's a Muslim to become disillusioned and to believe in that there is no hope for this ummah. It's very easy for the Muslim to become discouraged and to believe in that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to help this ummah. When we look across the globe and we see what's happening to the Muslims, we find that the blood of the Muslims is the cheapest blood on the face of the earth. There are people who are committing atrocities against the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They are committing genocide against the Muslims. And the dunya, the people, give a deaf ear to what's taking place, and they turn their backs on the ummah. When we look at the Muslims themselves and the communities where they reside, wherever they may be, you'll find that the Muslims are grossly undivided amongst themselves. These groups of Muslims accuse this group of Muslims of being deviant. That group of Muslims accuse this group of Muslims of being fanatical. These Muslims are fighting those Muslims. And as if this is not enough, Ikhwan, when we look at the kuffar who are in the effort to try to distort the true message of Al-Islam, the true message of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Qur'an, to prevent the servants of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala from coming to Al-Islam, it's very easy for us to become discouraged. When we see that these people have the audacity to continue to give us programs on the TV, that give us programs and movies that come on in the theater, that depict the Muslims as being backward, as being fanatical, womanizers, people who are against progress, all you have to do is look at the movie Aladdin that's been made for our children. All you have to do is listen to the way they connect Louis Farrakhan to Al-Islam, rap music to Al-Islam. Look at the pictures that they show on the TV right now, I Dream a Genie, in which they show the Muslims as being people who are against development. This is not strange, the monies that they spend, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about it in the Quran. When he says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ لِيَصُدُّ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Verily those people who disbelieve, they take their monies and they spend it to deter and to prevent the people from the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the condition of the ummah, and this is the fitna that we're confronted with. But we come here today, Ikhwan, because many times when we find people, when they stand before the Muslims to give a khutbah or to give a lesson, a lot of times brothers focus upon telling the Muslims that you're not doing this and you're not doing that, as if we've been assigned our seats to the hellfire already. But we didn't come here today except to give you brothers and you sisters glad tidings that the future is for Al-Islam. And Al-Islam is the future. When we look at the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these words of encouragement, that the future is for Al-Islam and Al-Islam is the future, comes across crystal clear. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala tells us in one of the ayats in the Quran, when he says, يُرِيدُونَ أَن يُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَيَعْضَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا أَن يَتَمَّ نُورَهُ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينَ الْحَقِّ لِيُظْهِرُهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ Those kuffar, the infidels, the polytheists, they want to extinguish the light of Allah, the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by blowing it out with their mouths. But Allah tabarak wa ta'ala refuses except that His light will be completed, in spite of the fact that the kuffar may detest it. For verily He is Allah, the one who has sent His messenger with the guidance, and the religion of truth, al-Islam, to proclaim it over every other religion, even though the mushrikeen may detest it. If we were to get off of this minbar, al-Sharif, at this time, and make the two rak'ats for Salatul Jum'ah, wallahi, after reading this ayah, we have done our job on this Friday. This ayah alone is enough for the Muslim to become optimistic about the future of al-Islam, and the future of this ummah, because we believe, with yaqeen, that Qur'an is the Qur'an of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the speech of Allah. But we're going to take it a step further and we're going to look into the sunnah of Abu Qasim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, in an authentic hadith that's been collected by Al-Imam Ahmed, on the authority of Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَيُّمَا أَهْلُ بَيْتٌ مِّنَ الْعَرَبْ وَالْعَجْمِ إِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِهِمْ خَيْرًا أَدْخَلَ عَلَيْهِمْ إِسْلَامِ Any household from amongst the households of the Arab or the non-Arab, if Allah wants good to that household, for the occupants of that household, He causes Islam to be entered into their home. 10 years ago, ikhwan, when I accepted Islam and came to this masjid in East Orange, New Jersey, on Friday, we used to make Salatul Jum'ah, and wallahi, the sisters used to share with us that back portion of the masjid. Now we have the sisters having to be shared, the brothers share with the sisters, the bottom level of this masjid. Why? Because al-Islam is on the move. People are accepting al-Islam. When I look in the musalla now, and I see the faces of the brothers who I've come to know, there are brothers who are amongst us who, before al-Islam, these people came from dysfunctional homes. These people were abusers of narcotics and drugs. They were incarcerated for long portions of their lifetime. They were treacherous people in Jahiliyyah. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala wanted for their household good. So He caused al-Islam to be entered into their household and they became Muslim. We have brothers from our Jama'at who were Arab from Arab countries. When they lived in their countries, you would think, because they were in Islamic environment, they would took Islam. But they had nothing to do with al-Islam. They were like kuffar in that they didn't pray. They gave themselves to narcotics and to alcohol. And then they came to America, the worst country for a person to be in if he wants to practice Islam. He comes to America and then he feels the ghurba, the strangeness of being where these kuffar is. And then Allah tabarak wa ta'ala wanted for him good and He gave him al-Islam. And now they come and they're dedicated to the masjid. And they're coming and they're making Salatul Fajr. We have sisters from our Jama'at Ikhwan who in Jahiliyyah before they knew about Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, they used to use their body to try to get men to give them that false affection and love. So we have women who are Muslims now who abuse their bodies and they have relationships with 5, 6, 10, 15 men in Jahiliyyah. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala said to her, do you want to be loved? Amatullah. Do you want to be loved? Then make the tawheed of me. Make the correct aqidah of me. Put on the hijab. Put on the niqab. Stop praying, making salat. And she did so. And we all know that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves His servant, He says to Jibril, "Verily I love so and so Jibril, so you love him." And Jibril says to the malaik in the sky, "Allah loves so and so, so they love him." And then Allah ta'ala causes the people on the earth to love that individual. So this is the situation. Al-Islam is on the move. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam had told us in the authentic hadith on the authority of Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He said, "La yablaghanna hadha al-amr ma balagha al-layl wal-nahar wa la yasruqu Allahu bayt min madarin wa la wadarin illa adkhala Allahu hadha al-din bi'izzi aziz wa bi'zul zalil izzin ya'izzu Allahu bihi al-islam wa zullin ya'izzu bihi al-kufr." The Prophet ﷺ said, "Verily this religion of Islam is going to conquer every single place where you find the night and the day. And it's going to be so that Allah will not leave any house. Whether that house is made out of straw or mud or clay, except that Allah will cause al-Islam to enter into that house. And He will do it with the honor of the honorable people. And He will do it with the lowliness of the lowly ones. Honor that Allah will honor with it al-Islam, and He will bring low al-Kufr." This ayah or this hadith from the Prophet's authentic sunnah clearly illustrates and shows for those of us who believe that the golden years of Islam have passed with the passing of the Sahaba and the Tabi'een and the Atba' Tabi'een, that al-Islam has not reigned supreme as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants it to as of yet. For verily during the past, the Muslims never conquered all of Europe. And this ayat, this hadith shows us that wherever there is a daytime and the nighttime, Islam is going to conquer that place. How? With the honor of the honorable people. In Jahiliyyah, before the coming of the Prophet ﷺ, Abu Bakr was honorable. Uthman was honorable. Ali was honorable. Abbas, Hamza, Abu Sufyan were honorable men. And when they came to Islam, Islam was honored with their Islam. The Prophet used to pray to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala by saying, when the Muslims were weak and oppressed in Mecca, "Allahumma a'izz al-Islam bi'ahad Umarain." Oh Allah, honor al-Islam with one of the two Umar. Umar ibn al-Khattab or Amr ibn Hisham Abu Jahl. And Allah ta'ala got it, al-Faruq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. So contrary to popular belief, not everyone from amongst the Muslims has a past that is tainted with drugs, prostitution, and lewdness. There are people who come into Islam after being in kufr, and they were honorable people in Jahiliyyah. Now, ikhwan, we find, in the times of Jahiliyyah, there were people from amongst the Sahabas in that society who were lowly in the sight of the people. People like Bilal ibn Rabah, people like Usama ibn Zayd, people like Suhail al-Rumi and Salman al-Farisi. They had no tribes, they weren't from the Arabs, and in some cases, they were black. And you know that the Arabs of that time looked down and frowned down upon the people who were not from the Arabs and who were black people. So now after the Muslim reads the story of Bilal, or he reads the story of Usama ibn Zayd, and then Allah tabarak wa ta'ala blesses him with a son. And he names his son Usama. And he teaches his son the history of Usama. And how the Prophet loved Usama. Never will that child stand in front of another man, irregardless of his color, and think that that man is better than him. Or have some inferiority complex because Allah created him that color. Never. In Jahiliyyah, the woman was despised, disrespected, and oppressed. She was taken when she was born and suffocated with dirt. If she got married and divorced, the brothers of her husband would take her, and any of them would prevent her from her inheritance and prevent her from even going outside. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored al-Islam with this lowly, weak woman by giving us people like Sumayyah, the first Shahida in al-Islam, people like Khadija and Aisha and Hafsa. So with that being the case, ikhwan, whatever the situation is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will honor this deen with those of us who have backgrounds that are tainted, and with those of us who have backgrounds that are not tainted. And let those of you who know Let those of you who are honorable conditions in Jahiliyyah know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have informed us in an authentic hadith when he said, خَيْرُكُمْ فِي الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ خَيْرُكُمْ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ إِذَا تَفَقَّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. The best of you in Jahiliyyah are the best of you in Al-Islam if you get fiqh and understanding of the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to at this time, Ikhwan, explain to the brothers, what is honor in Al-Islam? This religion that is the future, this religion that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has blessed us with. Many of us, when we hear the Muslims speak, it's clear that the Muslims are thinking in terms that are un-Islamic. And they think honor is the fact that they have a good job, or the fact that they have the latest model in their transportation, or that they have the best clothes. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has explained to us in so many hadith what honor is in Al-Islam. But we're going to look at an incident that happened with Al-Faruq Umar al-Khattab. An authentic incident that's been narrated to us by the famous Tabi'i, Muhammad ibn Shihab al-Zuhri. Whenever the Muslim hears Abu Huraira, automatically he knows Abu Huraira is the Sahaba who narrated the majority of the hadith. But unfortunately they don't know about Al-Imam al-Zuhri. This Tabi'i who, when you hear his name, he's up there with Abu Huraira in terms of the Tabi'in. He said that when we were in Sham, in Bayt al-Maqdis, in Jerusalem, and we defeated those kuffar over there, and we wanted to take from them the keys of the city, they refused to give us the keys. They wanted to give the keys up only to the Amir al-Mu'mineen. So Abu Ubaidah al-Jarrah, one of the 10 people who the Prophet ﷺ promised paradise, who was the leader of the Muslims at that time in Jerusalem, he sent a letter to Umar al-Khattab and he invited him to Jerusalem to come and to take the keys of the city. When Umar left Medina, he left by himself. When he approached the city, the people saw that Umar was coming. The Kuffar as well as the Muslims came out to meet Umar al-Khattab al-Faruq, this man whose name was being mentioned all over the world for his piety and his taqwa and his ability in terms of conquering the enemy. So when Umar came close, he got off of his camel, he took his khuf off, put his khuf on his shoulder, and started walking to the city grabbing the mouth of the camel. Abu Ubaidah, upon viewing this, rode his camel out to Umar and he said to him, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, أَتَفْعَلُ ذَلِكَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مُرِيدُ مَنْ يَسْتَشْرَفُوكَ. Oh Amir al-Mu'mineen, do you come and do such a thing? We do not want these people, these Jews and these Christians, to think that they're better than you. Look at the clothes that they wear. Look how they were living. Umar al-Khattab, upon hearing this, and who was Umar al-Khattab? The one that the Prophet ﷺ said, لَوْ كَانَ نَبِيٍ بَعْدِي لَكَانَ عُمَرٍ. If there was a Prophet after me, it would have been Umar al-Khattab. If there was a Prophet who was going to be after me, it would have been Umar. The one who the Prophet ﷺ said, if Umar took a side of the street, Shaytan would take the other side of the street because of his knowledge in the deen, his application of the deen, his understanding of the deen. Umar said to Abu Ubaidah, Ya Abu Ubaidah, لو يقول ذاك غيرك لجعلته نكالا لأمة محمد. والله إن كنا أذل القوم وأعزنا الله بالإسلام فمهما نطلب العز في غير ما أعزنا الله به أذلنا الله. He said, oh Abu Ubaidah, if someone else would have said what you just told me, anyone other than you, if they would have said what you just said, I'd have made him an example for the Ummah of Muhammad. For I swear by Allah, we the Arabs, the Quraysh, we used to be the most despised of the people. Persia and Rome did not respect us as a community, as an ummah. We used to be the most despised of the people. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored us with Al-Islam. Allah honored us with Al-Islam. So whenever we start to look for honor in other than what Allah has honored us with, Allah will bring us down. Allah will bring us down. This message, Ikhwan, needs to be understood by every last one of us. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has honored us in bringing us to al-Islam. And we don't say that it's enough just to come into al-Islam, but we say you have to come into al-Islam and understand it properly. Don't understand it according to fulan wa anan, this person and that person, but we understand al-Islam based upon the Islam that the Prophet brought to his Sahabas. So with that being the case, ikhwan, al-Islam is the future and the future is al-Islam. But the problems that we are facing today, they are directly a result of our misunderstandings of this deen. The problems that we are facing today, wallahi, if we wanted to solve the problem, all we have to do is come back to that which Allah has honored us with. We do not find honor in other than al-Islam. So with that being the case, those of you who are in our community, who walk around with this false pride, because you are on the ladder that's higher than your brother or your sister in terms of the job that you had, this is an attitude that is shaitanic and it's not from al-Islam. And it may be the reason why you're having those problems that you're having in your life. Because you're trying to find honor in other than what Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has made you honorable in. And that's al-Islam. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ونسأل الله السداد والتوفيق. الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلوات الله وسلامه على نبينا الأمين وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تمسك بسنته بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. عن خباب بن الإرث رضي الله تعالى عنه قال شكونا إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم وهو متوسد في بردة له في ظل الكعبة فقلنا يا رسول الله أفلا تستنصر لنا؟ أفلا تدعو الله لنا؟ فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم إنه كان رجل فيما كان قبلكم يحفر له في الأرض فيجعل فيها فيجاء بمنشار فيجعل على رأسه فيشق باثنتين وما يصده ذلك عن دينه ويمشط بأمشاط من حديد ما دون لحمه من عظم وعصب وما يصده ذلك عن دينه والله ليتمنى هذا الأمر حتى يصير الراكب من صنعاء إلى حضر الموت لا يخاف إلا الله أو الذئب على غنمه ولكنكم تستعجلون. On the authority of that famous and tremendous companion, Khabbab ibn al-Irth. He said, one day we came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while he was sitting in the shade of the Kaaba, and we said to him, O Messenger of Allah, will you not pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us in what we're receiving from these kuffar? They were in Mecca and the kuffar were oppressing them. And the Muslims were ordered to turn the other cheek and not to fight. Will you not make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us? For verily, if the Prophet makes dua, Allah ta'ala will answer his invitation. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat up after hearing this and he said to Khabbab, one of the people who were weak and oppressed in Jahiliyyah, because he had no tribe. He said, verily there was a man from the community of believers who came before this community. A hole would be dug for this man, and he would be placed in that hole. And then the kuffar would bring a saw, and they'll place it over his head, and they will saw that man in half, and that will not cause him to leave his religion. And then they would bring a hot iron comb, and they would take that comb, and they would comb his body until his flesh was separated from his bones and his nerves, and that would not cause him to leave his deen. He said, wallahi, verily this deen is going to reign supreme. Verily this deen is going to be complete until the point that the rider will be able to ride from Sana'a to Hadr al-Mawt, two places in Yemen. He will be able to ride from Sana'a to Hadr al-Mawt. And he will not fear anyone or anything except Allah and the wolf from devouring his sheep. He said, but you people are people who are in haste. You people are people who are in haste. He said that to the Sahabas. He said that to people like Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali. But you people are in haste. وَصَدَقَ اللَّهُ الْعَظِيمُ. When Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala tells us, وَخُلِكَ الْإِنسَانُ عَجُولًا. The mankind was created in haste. One of us, when a brother comes to you and he says to you, Ya Abdullah, there's a sister so-and-so, she wants to get married. Would you like to marry her? She's available. The brother said, no, I have to complete my studies. I have one more year. If I was to get married now, it'll mess up my whole program. I have to exercise discipline and patience. So he's patient. Another brother comes to another brother. He says, Ya Abdullah, I have a car. I want to sell it to you. You want to buy it? He says, no, akhi, I don't have the money because I have to pay my rent and the bills don't allow me to buy a car. He's patient. These are the affairs of the dunya, ikhwan. Doesn't it make more sense that we, people who are trying to build an ummah, doesn't it make more sense to have patience in building this ummah? Why are we a people who think that we have to get the success today in spite of the fact that we're not doing the things that the Sahabas did to get the results that they did? They received certain results because of what they did. We're doing things that will prevent us from getting those same results. It's the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, and this is a challenge. This is a challenge to this community. Let us not look at any other community. Let us look at ourselves and take this challenge from the Quran. For verily, when Allah speaks, He doesn't speak for entertainment. Allah ta'ala tells us in the Quran, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَامِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كَمَا اسْتَخْلَفَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ وَلِيُمَكِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ دِينَهُمْ الَّذِي ارْتَضَى لَهُمْ وَلِيُبَدِّلَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ خَوْفِهِمْ أَمْنًا يَعْبُدُونَنِي لَا يُشْرِكُونَ بِي شَيْئًا. Allah has promised those from amongst you who are sitting right here in this musalla. Allah has promised those of you who believe and do righteous deeds that He will establish you in the earth as He established those who went before you. Don't look at any other community. He promises you that He will establish you in the earth as He established those who went before you. And He will establish your religion, the one that He has chosen for you, al-Islam. And He will change your condition of being afraid to a condition of safety. You will worship Him and not making any partners with Him. This is an ayah from the Quran, ikhwan, that we need not look to any community. We need to look at ourselves. For verily, when the Prophet ﷺ came with his dawah of al-Islam, al-Islam began with four people. The Messenger of Allah, his wife Khadija, Ali and Abu Bakr. And from those four people, the Muslims are now over 1 billion people. So now look at the people that we have. Look at the people who are in this masjid. We're beginning with more than what he began with. And this is not something that has been inherited by many of us. It has come as a result of hard work. But we're not finished yet. We're not there yet. If you brothers want to participate, if you want to be active participants in the victory of al-Islam, then we say to you, this masjid, we're at the crossroads right now, and we're at a very sensitive time in our development. We have a school of young Muslims who have to show the responsibility of carrying this dawah. They are the future. If Islam is the future, quite naturally, the children are the ones who are going to shoulder the responsibility. And we're trying to educate them. What education? The education that's filled with lying, Christmas, Columbus. Nah. We're trying to teach them al-Islam first and how to count and read secondly. Al-Islam first and how to do the other things after that. And now we need the support of this community. So we're requesting from the brothers, and we're pleading with the brothers, that none of you should leave this masjid today, except that you give what you can give for that school. And when you take the money out of your pocket, Ahi, when you take the money out of your pocket, and we're asking you and pleading with you not to be cheap and to make shaitan think, shaitan makes you think that you're going to lose something. When you take the money out of your pocket to give, do it with the intention of being an active participant for the establishment of Al-Islam in the future. This Islam that you may not see reigning supreme, but you may be one of the people who produced a child who will be one of the people who's responsible for that. So we ask the brothers and the sisters of this masjid to give to the school. And for those of you who have been given to the school, we have another very important project. And today, this Friday, is a crucial Friday in this other project. The project of the purchasing of the building. As you can see now, you people are benefiting from what's being offered to you from these facilities right now. You're benefiting from this. Individually, you're benefiting. So why is it that we leave the responsibility to the man who's to the right of me or to the next of me, to the left of me to take care of my responsibility? We need to pray Taquan to make salat improperly. People have to pray outside, and it's getting colder and colder and colder. So we ask the brothers also, if you don't want to give to the school, then give for the building that we're trying to purchase. For verily, we're at a crucial time in our development, and we need money today. We need money today, this Friday. So let us not say tomorrow, if you don't have the money, then go get the money. We're not going anywhere. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us good in this life and the next life, to make us of those who believe and who do righteous deeds, make us of those who understand the seriousness of this responsibility. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from the torment of the hellfire and the torment of the grave. And may He subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon the ones from amongst us who are living and the ones from amongst us who are dead. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ونسأل الله تعالى السداد والتوفيق.